Virgil Crook, Sunday PM, April 18th, 2010.
Let's open our Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians 6. We'll continue with and try to finish up the eighth question in our series, Know Ye Not. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read the first three verses to sort of refresh our memory. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We'll back up just a little bit and cover some points that we've already covered, but just again to refresh our memory. The subject here is, of course, judging, and there must be a basis for judging. If anybody is going to judge, they have to have a basis for their judgment. And in the natural, the one who judges has to have knowledge about the thing, person, or situation being judged. You have to know the rules, the laws, or the criteria, whatever it might be. And there is always a set of rules or set of values. And those values must be known, followed, and obeyed. And we just threw out a short list of areas where judges are used, a beauty contest, sporting events, dog shows, of course, in civil and criminal cases, traffic court, even the city inspector that comes along once in a while. He has rules that he's supposed to follow to judge whether your construction will pass or not. Now, in the case in point that we're considering here that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and in all areas where we as God's people are to judge, we must remember that it is God who makes the laws, sets the standards, and establishes the values by which we must judge, first of all ourselves, the family of God, and the world. We touched on those three subjects the last time. Judgment begins with ourself. It begins in the house of God also. And then there will come the time when we will indeed judge the world. Now, God has revealed all of his laws, all of his standards, all of his values in his word. And we looked at Psalm 19, which we won't repeat tonight, but Psalm 19 is a good psalm to look at to see the importance of God's laws and how he has established all that we need to know in the area of judging. Now, God's spatial measuring stick for judging, and that which you and I are to use, is the gospel of Jesus Christ revealed to Paul. Let's read a few statements by Paul himself, first of all in Romans 16. We sometimes use the term, I'm sure you've heard the term used, the Pauline gospel. The Pauline gospel. What is the Pauline gospel? It is simply the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 16, verse 25, Paul makes this astounding and almost egotistical statement. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. If that's all that we had, we would indeed call it an egotistical statement, because Paul says, according to my gospel. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. Let's read on in Romans 2, verses 14 through 16. Romans 2, verses 14 through 16. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Then in verse 16 he says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men. When God will judge the secrets of all humanity by Jesus Christ, and here he goes again, according to my gospel. If we didn't know better, we would think that Paul was being very proud here and that he was making a statement that actually he shouldn't have made in the first place. But as we understand the Word of God, as we examine Scripture with Scripture, we understand that what he says is the truth. Now, all of the Word of God is good. All of the Word of God is God-breathed. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and all of God's Word has its depth and has its use. But there's one part of the gospel that is so very, very important to you and I, especially in the area of judging. And those are the epistles of the Apostle Paul. That is his gospel. Not that it was his gospel that he thought of it, that he wrote it, and that it came from him, but his gospel in the sense that God entrusted it to him. So he has every right to say just what he does according to my gospel. As we've mentioned before, each event or each contest or each sporting event or whatever you look at has its own set of rules. What the rules that you have, for instance, in the sport world, the rules that you have in one sport, you don't apply those same rules to another sport. Each one has their own rules. Paul was very emphatic to tell us, as he wrote to the Corinthians, that you and I have the privilege of judging the world. But what are we going to judge them on? What is going to be our criteria? It's going to be the Word of God, and especially the epistles of the Apostle Paul. That's why we put such emphasis on his writings. They are very important. If you have any desire to rule and reign with Jesus Christ, if you have any ambition whatsoever to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ, you must know, you must understand not simply the Word of God, but especially Paul's epistles. We judge and we interpret all other Scripture by what we have in Paul's epistles. What a privilege to judge the world system. What a privilege that is to judge angels who are actually higher in God's order of creation than man. The angels are higher as far as the order of creation is concerned, but you and I have the privilege of judging the fallen angels. We find here another reason, at least I feel it's another reason, for being separated from the world, to live a separated life. If we're going to judge the world, should we be a part of the world that we're going to judge? In the natural, a judge must, recuse himself in a case where he is involved or he's too close to the case or somehow he's involved with the case. And he has to step down. He can't judge this particular case because of his involvement, because his involvement makes him biased. We won't go into any details of how this might work or what might be the situation, but those situations do arise in the natural. And so a certain judge cannot judge this certain case because he's too close to it, because he has some involvement of some sort. And I believe this applies in a very real way to our judging the world. Most of God's people aren't really qualified to judge the world because they are too involved in the world and too conformed to its ways. They cannot make the right judgment. How many times have you heard even God's people say, well, we really shouldn't judge, you know. Jesus loves them, we love them, everybody loves them, there's just love everywhere. And you know, to be so harsh, why are they thinking that way? Because they're there. They're there. They are not looking, and as the scripture we used this morning in Peter's case, Peter rebuked the Lord when the Lord told him, or told the disciples about the fact that he was going to die on the cross. Peter says, no, man, what in the world are you thinking? That's not right. That's not right. And Jesus rebuked him, and he says, you're not thinking right, Peter. You're not judging as you ought to judge. You're judging after a natural passion or compassion. And how often that is in our case as children of God. Yes, God is compassionate. Yes, God is loving. And you and I should be compassionate and loving also. But God has his laws. God has his rules. God has his regulations, and they must be followed. If we don't judge the world that we live in now, we certainly will not be qualified to judge it later. Let's turn to Galatians 6, verse 14. In this verse, I believe that Paul says it very well, what our position should be. The worst judgment in the world is a biased judgment by someone who is not looking at the situation according as the law dictates that he should look at it. And how true in the spiritual sense, and even more so and more serious, because we're speaking here of eternal values. Galatians 6, verse 14, Paul says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The cross, of course, represents many things. The cross represents judgment. Even in the natural, when a person was nailed to a cross, that person had been judged. That was his judgment. That was the result of his judgment. He was nailed to a cross. And certainly as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it means. He was judged in our place on the cross. So what is Paul talking about here? He's talking about a judgment. He has made a judgment. He has been, judged the world to be condemned. By whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He took his place beside the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world had no influence on him. He could make a unbiased judgment according to the word of God because he had judged the world. And of course, the world had judged him also. It works both ways, doesn't it? Let's turn to Jude, whatever chapter you want to go to, verses 14 and 15. If you've got more than one chapter, you better check your Bible. Jude, verses 14 and 15. Notice the severe words that Jude uses here, talking about judgment. Severe perhaps, but certainly true. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to do what? To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. What is your reaction when you hear some of the things that the people say, some of the people of the world? I trust that it does irritate you spiritually, not being irritated naturally, but in the sense that they are speaking against our Heavenly Father, against his plans, against his purposes, against the Lord Jesus Christ. Harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And notice in the verse 15 how many times he used the word ungodly. Convict all who were ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds. They committed in an ungodly way. They are to be judged. They are to be blamed. They have done things against God. And you and I, as God's children, while we do need to show love to the sinner, yet if he refuses God's grace and God's mercy, what else can we do? We have to be on God's side. We have to judge as God judges. And I thank the Lord that it's not left to our own thoughts and ideas of how to do this or what we should do. The Word of God is very plain. I realize that there are some things that are hard to understand in the Word of God. But so many things are so very plain. We won't go into detail about one of the subjects that is so spoken of today, defended, and so on, and that is of homosexuality. Just a simple reading of the Word of God makes it plain. I don't understand how you can twist it to mean anything else than what God's Word says. The Word of God says that it's sin. And you can twist that and turn it and bring in the God of love, and why would he say that, and why would he condemn? But it's the Word of God. I didn't make the law. I didn't write the Bible, but I know the one who did. And I know that he has never made a mistake. What he says about sin is what I must say about sin. Even though I don't understand it, and maybe I think maybe it should be another way, but no, I can't do that. In the natural, a judge who follows the law cannot twist that law to make it say something else. We have a lot of lawmakers that try to interpret things the way they think it ought to be interpreted, but the law is what it says. Revelation 2. Read a few scriptures here in Revelation concerning the fact that we will judge. We will judge. This is not just some pretty phrase that we're putting forth here, or some nice idea that Paul thought he would kind of throw out. These are facts. These are the facts of the Word of God. And to me, it's a very humbling thought when I think that I have the opportunity to judge the world. That's an awesome thought. In the natural, I don't know. You know, there's judges that they have to condemn people to death. They have to condemn them to the death sentence. And again, in the natural thing, you know, people, there's a lot of different ideas about this. But how can they condemn a man and send him to death? Well, because he broke the law. That's why he can do it. And I'm sure that in many cases it's hard for a judge to know that he is responsible because of his judgment for a man's death. It's a serious thing, but I take it to be a reality. God has given us the opportunity as his children to judge. Revelation 2, verses 26 through 27. Revelation 2, verses 26 and 27. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end. He keeps my works until the end. To him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as they also have received from my Father. Jesus is a very good example for you and I. As we observe Jesus here upon this earth, do you know of anyone who showed more compassion, more understanding, more patience, and more mercy than the Lord Jesus Christ? He was such a patient man, such a loving man. But where judgment was needed, he judged. When the Pharisees needed to be rebuked, he rebuked them. And we see him as such a loving, merciful being. And yet in the book of Revelation, we see a different side of this same wonderful man. In this life, he judged all things correctly. And in the future, he will do the same. And as we see here, the severity shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel, as they also have received from my Father. Now you and I should be in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ as he sends forth the call, the gospel call, give man an opportunity to be saved and come to know him as their Savior. But we must also side with him when time comes for judgment. Revelation 3, verse 21. Revelation 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. These again are not just words that Jesus throws out to make us feel good. These are God's plans. These are God's purposes. We may not be able to conceive of what all it entails or how it will all play out, so to speak. But I believe the word of God. I believe the word of God. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. I take those words literally, and I take them to heart. I take them for myself. I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. These are literal events that John saw in vision. It was a vision, certainly. But what he saw were literal happenings that will take place not too long in the future. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads and on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Notice in this verse that it states, the NIV says, they had been given the authority to judge. Judgment was given to them. They had been given the authority. They had been given the right to judge. But once again, we must emphasize that judgment begins right now. Judgment begins right now. You and I must take the word of God and apply it first to our own lives, then to the lives of others around us, and to the world that we live in. You must know the word of God. You must know the word of God. Last Sunday in David Franklin's meeting, I preached on a text out of Romans 17:3. And some people didn't know that the scripture was there. Look it up. And the scripture is this: God helps those who help themselves. That's Romans 17:3. A lot of people believe that is scripture. They would place their life on it. God helps those who help themselves. And that does sound pious, doesn't it? That sounds like something God would do if you don't know God. That God helps those who help themselves. Well, it isn't scripture. Though, if you tried to find Romans 17:3 and you found it, then you better check your Bible again, because it's not there. It's not scripture, and it's not even scriptural. It sounds good. It sounds scriptural. But it's not even scriptural. And a lot of people are judging on the basis, this is just one example, are judging on the basis of what they think is scripture. And how often have you heard, I've heard many times, people quote what they thought was scripture, what the Bible says, or Jesus said. They don't have a clue to what the Word of God says. To be scriptural, we'd have to change that just a little bit and say that God helps those who realize they cannot help themselves and cry to Him for help. Now, that's scriptural. It's not scripture, but at least it is scriptural, and it's according to the Word of God. It's important for you and I to know the Word of God for ourselves, to know what God has said about this situation, that situation, this attitude, that attitude. We need to know what the Word of God says, not what somebody else says about it. That's why I have a hard time, well, in fact, I don't do it, reading books that others read, write about certain situations. About faith, for instance. How many books are there written about faith? I've never read one about faith. I find it in the Word of God. I know about faith from what the Word of God says about faith. Let's turn to Psalms 149, verses 5 through 9. Psalm 149, verses 5 through 9. Obviously, we don't make these things known as dogmatically as we're presenting them here tonight to the world, because the world wouldn't understand. They would be very offended if they thought that we were going to judge them. Now, they judge us, and that's okay, because that's all right. We're, you know, what we are. We're fanatics. We're a lot of things. So they can judge us, all right, but we can't judge them. We'll see. Psalms 149, verses 5 through 9. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. On the one hand, praising the Lord. On the other hand, we do have a battle to fight. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples. Can't we just all get along? Can't we just all be loving? And there we go with the love story again. To execute vengeance on the nations. That doesn't seem quite right, does it? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But there will come a time when He will give us the chance. He will give us that opportunity to join with Him in the vengeance that He will pour out upon the nations. Verse 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. To execute on them the written judgment. In the natural, when a lawyer is pleading his case, he comes up with all of these different cases. He cites this case, that case, so-and-so against so-and-so, and page so-and-so, paragraph so-and-so, because that's the written law. That's the written law. To execute on them the written judgment. Aren't you glad that you have a Bible in your hand? That's one of the greatest privileges that you and I, as human beings, have. I don't know what other books you have in your house. I'm not condemning your books. I know Sister Peggy has a whole lot of books in her house. And at one time in our house, I think Sister Sharon counted over 100, right? Oh, more than that? What? Oh, dear. See how much I know. She says 1,000. Okay. Of books, you know, Reader's Digest and different novels and so on. I didn't realize we had so many. Well, anyway, the main book is the Word of God. You can have those other books. You can read them. That's fine. I'm not condemning anybody that does that. But don't do that in place of knowing what the Word of God says. Know what the Word says. Start from there. Then you can read other things. Once you know what the Word of God says, then you can read other things. And you can judge them by what you know that the Word of God says. To execute on them the written judgment, this honor have all his saints praise the Lord. All of God's saints have that privilege. God has given us the privilege. That's in his plan and in his purpose. And far as I know, there's no reason why God would even do this. God doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our help in any way, shape, or form. But he says, I'm going to give you the privilege to sit by my side and judge the ungodly. But first, you need to read the book. You need to study the rules and regulations. You need to know what the basis of my judgment is going to be. But you have that privilege as a child of God tonight. I trust that the Lord would impress upon our hearts the seriousness and the need to take these things serious, that we're not talking here about some fantasy or some fairy tale. These are facts. These are established facts. God has established his word in the heavens. His word is established forever, and you and I have that privilege. I want to know what the word of God says so that I can make the right judgment. First of all, in my own life. The decisions that I have made through the years have been made on what I knew at the time of the word of God. And as the Lord opened the word to me, I continued, and by God's grace I will, till the day I die, make my decisions on what I know the word of God says. And then to judge others also, that they are not walking according to what the word of God says, or they are. Well, whichever. And then one day I have the privilege, or will have the privilege, of sitting beside the judge of all the earth and be in harmony with his judgments and not be like Peter. Lord, you're being too harsh here. I don't think we need to be quite so gung-ho about this thing. You know, let's give him a chance. Well, you won't be sitting beside the judge of all the earth if that's your attitude. Let's stand and be dismissed. The elders are always open.